Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, coming to you from the friendly confines of Studio A. Once again, Americans drink 3.6 billion gallons of tea each year, and every day at least half of the population has a cup. That means the odds are that you have had a cup of tea already today. It means you'll really want to stay tuned into the show because we talk tea. Whether you take it straight or with cream, honey, or sugar, we want to know what's your idea of a proper cuppa. And if you don't know, we have an expert in the studio today who can give you a few pointers. Kevin Borowski stumbled on the wonders of tea while trying to live a healthier lifestyle over a decade ago. Inspired by the possibilities of the versatile beverage, he opened the Whistling Kettle in Boston Spa 10 years ago. Brewing teas and selling tea-making accessories, he opened a second location in Troy, what, about a year ago now, right?
Right.
About a year. How do you take your tea? Well, give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Any tea question at all will do. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on today's Vox Pop wall post on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag Vox Pop or email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Kevin Borowski, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
It's been about a year now, right?
Sure, it has.
So, you know, there must be a lot of people out there like me, know nothing about tea, and you must get some sort of perplexed looks the first time someone walks into your store. What's the number one question a neophyte will ask you?
You sometimes see that look on their face. It's kind of blank. Their face turns white when
yeah,
they see
like
over
what I have now.
See over 100 types of tea, and they're like, "Oh, I, what?" Like they don't even know what this is. So
yeah.
It's really trying to get them comfortable with all the different varieties, and it's really not that overwhelming once you sort of figure out what you like and just sample and try different things.
But there are a lot of options.
There are a lot of options.
You got green tea, black tea, what, red tea?
White tea, pu'er tea.
I think you brought white tea last time, and it was very light.
Yes,
wasn't it?
Yes.
So that's a younger tea leaf?
Yeah, it's younger tea leaf, yes.
It, very tasty, though.
It is.
So what's the most popular tea at the shop?
We have a few varieties, and they tend to be on the flavored side. So we have one called Snowflake, which has cinnamon and almonds and coconut in it, and it just has a flavor combination that people love.
Okay, so, all right, this is a question that I would have, not knowing much. When you have a flavored tea, how, in fact, do you flavor that tea? You're still getting it in either loose form or in a tea bag, right? So how do you, in fact, flavor it?
There's basically two components to it. A lot of times you'll see tea and there'll actually be chunks of fruit in it or almonds or nuts. But what they'll do is if you think of vanilla extract, when you buy it in a supermarket, it's in ethyl alcohol. And it's what they do is they take a small amount of that and put it in a big drum and they tumble the leaves. And the leaves are like sponges. They absorb the flavor. So
this is before they're dried?
Correct. Actually, after they're dried.
Really?
After they're dried. And they will just absorb the flavor. And that's how you can flavor a tea with vanilla or Earl Grey, for example, is oil of bergamot. So any flavor that you can come up with, you can flavor the tea, and then they'll add nuts, they'll add chocolate, they'll add whatever you want to add to it to enhance it.
What about caffeine? As a coffee lover, I'm pretty down with the caffeine scene, and I know that there's sort of a misunderstanding about tea being much, much less as far as caffeine, but there are some pretty strong teas, right?
There are strong teas, and really when you look at tea on a term of a dry weight, it has the same amount of caffeine as coffee, but you don't use as much tea per cup, and that's why you have more caffeine in a cup of coffee. However, tea also has other things, amino acids in it, that will temper the effects of caffeine and sort of give you a more even buzz, as you would say, versus, you know, caffeine, you'll kind of go up and then come back down.
Yeah.
Tea is a little bit more gentler, and you can drink more of it. It's not as hard in your stomach, so you can drink it all day long without, you know, worrying about jitters or, you know, heart issues or, you know, acid issues in your stomach.
Yeah, what about cocktails? Can you make some cocktails with tea?
Tea is very versatile in terms of food and drink, and you can make concentrates and incorporate them into alcoholic beverages as well.
Really? Now you've had my attention. Give me some examples.
Well, I mean, we have like a green tea mojito, for example. We use a lot of the same ingredients as you would do a typical mojito, but you would add 2 teaspoons of matcha, which is powdered green tea. It's a concentrated powdered green tea. If you're looking to have an Allen Palmer, you can add a little spike that up with a little vodka, if you
like.
Well,
I could have come up with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, spiking up the Arnold Palmer. That's not,
it's a big thing with a lot of mixologists now is to incorporate tea into these beverages.
Well, I got to tell you, the phone lines are loaded here, Kevin, so let's get to them. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We'll start out with Roberta in Schenectady. Hi, Roberta, you're on.
Good morning. Thank you. When I was in high school, which was in the Middle Ages,
me too.
My mother and I and a friend of hers went to do some clothes shopping for me in preparation to go into college. Her friend was from Scotland. Halfway through the afternoon, we stopped at a diner for tea, coffee, a snack. And that's when I learned from Sylvia from Scotland that you always drink tea with milk, not with lemon, as my mother drank tea. The other thing that Sylvia did, which absolutely blew my mind, when the waitress came to take our order, she requested that her tea be made with actively boiling water. And the waitress nodded her head and went off and came back with her cup of tea, and Sylvia looked at it, called the waitress over and said, "This was not made with boiling water." And she sent the tea back.
What a tea snob,
yeah.
I'll tell you.
Whoa! It just blew me away.
So what difference does that make, Kevin?
It does make a difference as far as a lot of restaurants will not have water actively boiling, or in other words, at the right temperature. They'll have hot water, but not boiling water.
But can you taste the difference?
When you have a black tea, and a lot of the Scots like really heavy, dark black teas, you're not going to get as much flavor out of the tea if you use water that's too cool.
Oh. All right, so, Roberta.
Now, I want to give you, when I do drink tea now, I usually drink it with milk, but when I have a bad cold, I drink tea with lemon and honey and a shot of cognac.
Oh, that works. Fantastic idea. So, I mean, lemon is all right, isn't it?
Yeah, lemon's all right. Milk is sort of like optional. It's really common on a very strong black tea to kind of cut it a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you start getting into green tea, some of the more delicate ones, I kind of say don't adulterate it. Drink it straight.
All right. Hey, Roberta, great
I'm
call.
In agreement. You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank
we'll
you.
We'll see you. Bye. Let's go to Martha in Oneonta. Hi, Martha.
Hey, hi, greetings. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I love green tea and switched to it from coffee some time ago, and I know how to brew it so that it tastes good, but I'm wondering, am I getting the best antioxidant effect? Should I do it longer? Should I use a different temperature? I'm wondering if there's a difference between optimal antioxidant levels and the way it tastes.
Okay, now, to be clear, you're not a scientist, right?
No.
But I play one
teenager.
On TV.
All right, and Kevin's not a scientist either, but we'll find out anecdotally.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay.
Well, green tea, you can't oversteep it because once you start doing that, the tannins will be released and it gets extremely bitter. So typically 3 minutes or so is the longest you can steep green tea.
For flavor.
Yes, correct. However, most of the antioxidants do get released during that period of time, and you can re-steep green tea as well.
I do that.
Yeah, so if you re-steep it a couple times, you're going to pretty much extract most of the antioxidants out of that.
Good. Now, how about cold steeping?
Cold steeping, you will still get the antioxidants out of it. It's a longer steep, so I do recommend like doing it at least 8 hours.
Do it overnight because I like to drink my tea cold. I drink it all year round. That's good to know. So
yep.
I've been doing it right all along.
You have.
Good answer.
Do you feel healthy, Martha?
Well, that might be the liquor.
Ah, that's two calls with liquor. I think I see
you.
A trend here. Thanks, Martha. We appreciate the call. So the cold steeping business. This is it's new to me, but I guess it goes back a long way.
It's coffee is the same thing where they started introducing cold steeping, and it's a smoother. You kind of get a little bit of a smoother. Now, cold steeping, obviously, you're going to drink it cold, and a lot of people like to drink their tea hot in the morning. But the cold steeping is ideal if you're going to do an iced tea, and it really gives a nice mellow flavor to it.
Is this the same? Now, I remember back in the good heavens, the 80s, people were making sun tea.
That's like kind of lukewarm tea. So
yeah.
Sun tea is sort of like, it's a little bit faster than cold steeping, but it's the same concept. Yep.
All right. Our guest today is Kevin Borowski. Let's go to line three and Kernan in Glenville. Kernan, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Growing in our meadow here, we have wild bergamot. I know it's there because I planted it.
Okay.
Right next to the side door of the house, we have Kentucky red stem mint.
Nice.
I planted that. That, by the way, is the only mint you really get with mint juleps. It's a powerful flavor.
Mm.
So you can imagine how I go out there and snip here and snip there, come running back in the house, drop that into a cast iron Chinese tea pot,
yeah,
or in the hot water, And a few minutes later, we have wonderful tea.
And you could use regular black tea, too, as well, mix that in if you wanted to add everything.
Yeah. Now, talking about black tea, years ago, I knew a Chinese engineer working for our agency, and he told me that Wulong means black dragon. And he brought some black dragon tea, little balls of tea you drop into the hot water, and they unfold and look like little dragons coming out of eggs.
Huh. They call that the agony of the leaf, as that opens up.
The agony of the leaf?
Yes.
You know, speaking of agony, we have to take a break here. But, Kernan, you want to hang on the line, or are you good?
I'll just go back to my teapot.
All right, man. Thanks a lot for the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday, joined today by Kevin Borowski. We talk tea with you coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete. Available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, mannysoliveoil.com. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, including Bevel, Lafont, and Pro Design, progressive lenses from Verilux and Nikon, and Maui Jim, Costa, and Ray-Ban sunglasses, sheehyopticians.com. Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond, stillwellcpa.com. The Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts, currently presenting the exhibitions Van Gogh and Nature and Whistler's Mother, Gray, Black, and White, clarkart.edu. Planned Parenthood Mid-Hudson Valley, for over 80 years, advocating for policies that will protect women's rights into the future, ppmhv.org for more information. And Destination Williamstown, a calendar of curated events in the Northern Berkshires, culture, college, cows, destinationwilliamstown.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday, and we talk tea with you. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Kevin Borowski of the Whistling Kettle is here. And once again, let's go to the phones. Lee on the thruway. Lee, are you hands-free?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm off the side of the road, so I'm both free.
Okay. Well, you are on the air with Kevin Borowski.
Thank you. Kevin, I was curious. I've been a tea drinker all my life, but I've also been an aficionado of honey. And I know different varietals have different effects because of their content and their nectar source. And I was wondering if you've done anything on that with how different honey varieties affect different types of tea.
We just did a blog article literally last week on honey and tea.
Yeah.
However, I did not write the blog. One of my writers wrote it for me.
You have people to do that for you.
Right? I do some of it, but we did write more generalities. We didn't actually go into specifics as far as different honeys, because honey obviously has a lot of nutritional value.
Yeah.
And so we definitely advocated in use in certain teas. Not all teas, I think, should be sweetened, but as far as like nectar content, it's more or less, you know, if you're going to find a great honey, just put it in the tea that you like.
Yeah.
And take advantage of whatever benefits it has. But that's a good thing for further research.
Aha.
Well, thank you very much. I was just thinking that some of the harsher honeys or stronger, more pungent honeys don't do so well with some of the lighter teas.
Well, that makes sense.
Right. And I typically use honey every day for my breakfast tea, and it's a very strong. I actually brought some with me, so you can try it.
Oh, awesome.
But it's a strong tea, so the honey kind of helps. Definitely, if your tea is not strong enough, it's going to be overpowered by the honey. And, you know, some of the honeys, a lighter honey, definitely you don't want to put on a dark honey on a light tea.
Lee, what's your favorite honey and tea combo?
Well, actually, my favorite honey is leatherwood honey from Tasmania, south of Australia.
Nice.
And I like a lovely jasmine green tea.
Where do you get leatherwood honey?
Well, you have to get it online. I don't know that it's actually sold. There's very little of it that's made, but it can be obtained through, you know, online through the internet if you kind of Google it and Leatherwood Honey, and then there are some sites that, and I can't recall the names, but you can order it that way.
And is it really good, huh?
Yes, and I actually have, I'm a beekeeper, and I have hives, and my honey tends to be primarily light. It's a white clover honey, and I quite like that. But, of course, every year the result is dependent on the nectar flow, either in the spring or later in the summer and the fall. So the honey doesn't taste exactly the same from year to year.
But that's a good thing. A variety is a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
So now, Kevin mentioned that maybe green tea not the best plan to sweeten, right? Did you
say
that earlier?
Well, it really depends. But if it's if you're drinking a really high end green tea that is very expensive, honey will change the flavor, so you're not going to notice the subtleties. If you're drinking it like
I agree with that. I use less honey for milder teas, and say more honey for stronger teas, like an English breakfast tea. I think you can take more liberty with different types of honey.
Right.
Mm.
Or stronger honeys because it is a strong tea. But your lighter honeys, you maybe don't need as much.
Lee, that was a great call, and I appreciate you pulling over the side of the road and giving us a shout.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you very much, and have a good day. And I was thrilled to hear that you were on the call.
Well, thanks a lot, Lee. We appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. It's a Food Friday tea today with Kevin Borowski of the Whistling Kettle, and you're brewing something up here. What are you brewing?
This is one of my homemade teas, literally one of the ones we blend in house.
Yeah.
It's called East Frisian Broken Blend.
Okay. An interesting name.
It is.
What does it mean?
East Frisia is an island in northern Germany.
What about the broken part?
Broken is the leaf, so when you get tea leaves loose, there's different grades, and the broken grade means that it's smaller pieces. When you're looking for a breakfast tea like the one I wanted to create, I wanted strength. So when it's broken, smaller pieces means more surface area, and thus a stronger punch.
Okay, and so how long do we have to wait for this to steep?
It takes 4 minutes.
All right, let's take another call, 1-800-348-2551. Jim, our old buddy Jim in Adams, Mass.
Hey, Ray, again.
Hey.
All right. Just kind of hark back to Lee's call just for a second and ask your guest if he's ever tried buckwheat honey, which is an alkaline honey rather than being acidic.
Mm.
And they say it's very good for calming down hot peppery foods when you're dining on them. But if you ever tried any buckwheat honey in any of your teas or stronger teas?
I've had buckwheat honey, but I've used it more in cooking rather than in beverages because it is definitely very strong in my opinion. So I have not used it in tea, but it's certainly with a strong black tea.
Mm-hmm. That's how about you, Jim? Have you used it?
Yes, I have.
And how is it?
Very strong flavored.
I mean, I guess you'd pair that with a very strong tea?
Yeah.
Yes.
I always like to taste the tea, though. That's really the key for me. It's like I don't want to drink honey, basically.
Well, you're in the tea business.
Yeah.
I would assume that you like the stuff. Yeah.
My primary reason for calling was that I wonder if your guests could tell us what type of herbal tea, I guess it may not have any caffeine content, that the American ship captains would take with them from America to China and trade it for anywhere from 3 to 6 times the same amount of Chinese tea to bring back and sell and make their fortunes.
Is this a quiz, Jim?
Yes, it is.
All right. Any guess here? Would you like a lifeline?
I would like a lifeline.
So you have no idea?
It's sweet goldenrod leaves.
Okay.
There are many varieties of goldenrod, and the one that they would use was called sweet goldenrod. The leaves, you look on them, the veins run parallel to the length of the long leaves, and when you crush it in your fingers, it has a licorice or almost anise-type aroma to it.
You ever done any herbal tea like that?
I don't have any teas with goldenrod in it, but I've seen it.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. The Chinese prize it very much, even over their own tea.
I'll be darned. Well, Jim, as always, an interesting call. Thank you, sir.
Yep, bye-bye.
Have a great weekend. 1-800-348-2551. Now, I remember from the last time you were on, and I remember very little from show to show, but I remember herbal tea, technically not tea, right?
Correct. It's called a tisane, so it's basically anything like a root or fruit or something that you boil and make a tea out of.
But still popular.
It's still popular, especially for medicinal reasons or people who can't drink caffeine.
Mm-hmm. How are we doing on the steeping here?
We're good.
Yeah, we want to try?
You can try.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if this water was hot enough, like the previous caller.
So this is like a sun tea, then?
It could be.
Very, very briefly. Well, it looks fairly robust. Are you going to have any?
No,
this
I'll
is
let
just
you,
for me?
Yeah, it's just for you.
All right.
Now, this is one I drink with milk as well. I put a little spot of milk in it.
Yeah. Oh, this is nice.
It's what I drink
very
in the morning.
Very round taste. What is this? This is the broken tea.
This is the broken tea. So it's mostly Assam tea, so that's from India, 80%. And then there's also some Java and Sumatra tea in there.
It's got a sweetness to it.
It does.
Without any sweetener in it.
Right.
Nice. You'd use a little bourbon. All right, let's go to line two, Barbara in Kingston. Barbara.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It's a really interesting show. I go to Darjeeling every year, and I've had occasion to drink a lot of Darjeeling tea. And last year I was able to meet with the owner of a tea plantation, an organic tea plantation. He insists that his tea be steeped when the water's only 135 degrees,
wow.
Which is very different. So, you know, he was a crazy character, so he couldn't really, it was hard to get a lot of information. But what do you think about that?
135 seems just low to me, but you know, if he's growing it, he probably knows better than I do. And maybe because it's such a raw, maybe because it's so young and raw that it could withstand lower temperatures. But generally, Darjeelings are delicate and not uncommon for the steeping temperature to be a little lower than a typical black tea. So, but that'd be something I would want to find out where he is and try it.
Well, you'd have to go to the Makabari Tea Estate, and his name is Raja Banerjee.
Because actually, I sell Makabari.
Oh, you do?
I do, but it's not a Darjeeling. It's an Assam. Mm.
Oh, okay. Well, Darjeeling tea is so interesting because even when it's in the cup, the tannins will increase when it's not steeping anymore, and so if you let it sit a little too long, or if it's in a little hot pot. It gets stronger, 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 and it's so different from anything of the blends that you can get here. It's so different.
Indeed, and a lot of times I will like buy special cases. You can buy them by the year, just kind of like wine. They have vintages.
Oh, really?
So you can get one like from spring of 2015 and get one that's just, you can smell. It's literally like opening up. You could smell the air from Darjeeling.
And can you tell the difference in the vintages?
Yes, you can.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, once it gets, that's a tea that has to be enjoyed while it's young. It can't, there is no old vintages because it will degrade over time. However, Pu'er tea, that case, our vintages, where the older it gets, the better it gets. So we have one from 1992 that we sell that is one of the teas that actually gets better with age.
Very interesting. Thanks a lot for the call, Barbara. We appreciate it. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. This is very delicious, by the way.
Well, good.
This really is. It's got some power to it.
It does. And that's one I would, you know, that's one of the teas I would put a little milk in if it's a little bit too powerful.
No, it's delicious. All right, this is an email with a word I can't pronounce, so let's go right to it. This is from Wondering. It's signed Wondering. It says, greetings, Kevin. Do you know or have you ever carried osmanthus tea? O-S-M-A-N-T-H-U-S.
Yes.
I had it as a cold tea in a small Chinese restaurant near Boston last summer and have been looking for it ever since. They imported it themselves in their luggage, apparently, and brewed it in-house. They showed me some. It's a black tea with tiny dried osmanthus blossoms included, like jasmine tea. Brewed, it was delicious, light gold, and very fragrant. Any leads? That's signed Wondering.
Yes, the answer is yes. I don't sell it now, but I could get it. It's pretty common, actually, osmanthus.
Yeah.
So I used to have a green tea with osmanthus in it, but it's just another flower that they add to it to give it another level of flavor.
Now, you've been doing, you've been in business, what, over 10,
11
years now?
Yeah.
And so what's the most popular as people walk in? Is it just the common variety black tea?
You get Earl Grey. A lot of those teas are the most popular. But there are a few high-end ones, too, that seem to sell a lot.
Why are they high-end? Is it just that people like them a lot in foreign countries, and so they're tougher to get?
It's all based on yields and also what is involved in processing it. So, you know, like a lower-end tea might be more mechanized, and they might harvest a lot more tea, or a small one might be a smaller plantation, where it's hand-picked, so you have really expert tea pickers that pick the exact proper bud and leaf and process it and roll it by hand. So
it's like a hand-rolled cigar.
Correct.
You're getting the expertise of the...
Versus like the machine-cut cigars. You know?
Right.
You know, so that's... When you have that expertise, then you look at the tea, and I want to show you a couple examples of a high-end tea here, but you can look at it and just tell by looking at it that it's high-end based on what the leaves look like. They're not less broken pieces. They're more uniform. They just look higher quality.
Your average first-time client at your shop won't know the difference, though, right?
It
takes a certain amount of cultivation
it
of
does.
Taste buds.
You have to train your palate to pick up all those nuances.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Kevin Borowski is our guest. Dan in Lee, Massachusetts. Dan, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to make a little comment here. My family knows I like tea, and over time I've accumulated all of these variety packs, a million flavors, this and that, more than I could possibly drink. And one day, on a whim, I just put some chicken breast in the crock pot and threw a bunch of strange-flavored tea bags in there and sprinkled a little loose tea and let it sit for 6 hours or something, and it came out really good. Do you have a lot of, you know, sort of, is it common to use tea as a food ingredient, too?
I love that idea. Did you put salt in like a normal brining would be?
You know, I didn't, but I certainly could do that. You know, I just put a couple cups of water and all the teas I thought would go together as good flavors, and it really did flavor the chicken nicely.
What do you think, Kevin?
I mean, think about it. You have a lot of recipes you get that say, oh, add beer. It's the same concept. You're going to add flavor to it. So
yeah.
For sure, chicken and tea would make an excellent, like, brine solution or something to add flavor to it.
That's a really interesting idea, though.
There's smoked teas that you can use to impart some smokiness. Some you can use Earl Grey to, you know, so there's a definitely cooking aspect.
So, I mean, but I always thought with brining, part of the chemical trick with brining, the salt sort of broke down some of the muscle materials. So I wonder, was it any more tender than usual, Dan, or did you just taste the tea?
I really did taste the tea. As far as tenderness, it's hard to say. I mean, it was chicken, so... You know, maybe with some of with some of the tougher cuts of meat, if it would have that effect, that would be interesting to know.
Very interesting.
Good blog subject.
Okay, and the link to your blog is on our page, right?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Dan, thanks a lot for the call. Great call. 1-800-348-2551. Robin in Fort Ann. Robin.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon.
Howdy.
Two questions, if I may.
Sure.
First question is, for years have been drinking some Japanese green tea, Sencha and Hojika, and enjoy them very much, but am wondering if it's safe to continue to order them considering the nuclear disaster at Fukushima.
It's
any
interesting.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, one of my suppliers actually ceased ordering teas from Japan after that incident as a precaution. And I have been in touch with them to ask them what's the status. And they said they seem to think that soon they'll be able to order again. They're extremely cautious.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been any reported like contamination, like where it was over a certain limit. But they basically, I personally wouldn't avoid it. Some people are a little bit more cautious. But
yeah.
I think soon they'll open it up again because they want to go through a number of years of, you know, results that, you know, come back within their whatever the requirements are.
That's a very interesting question.
Yeah, well, I got a second one. Hopefully it's equally
all right. Well, we'll see.
I have read that there is an ingredient in green tea called L-theanine.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I have also read some things on the internet that European doctors prescribe that for anxiety or calming their patients down rather than giving them Xanax or Prozac or something.
That's true. L-theanine is an amino acid that basically when you're drinking tea, you're not just getting that caffeine jolt, you're getting a calm awareness. So it's calming yet stimulating at the same time. And that's why monks, for example, in China, when they meditated, would drink tea in order to keep their mind focused, but not get too, you know, not drowse out, but
yeah,
also focus their mind.
That's what I try to do before the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Robin, thanks a lot. Great call.
Well, yes. Well, thank you for the answers, gentlemen. Have yourselves a great day.
You too, and a good weekend. Of course, none of your comments here today are certified by the FDA. Just
Correct.
Want to make that clear from our legal department. But, I mean, there is all sorts of anecdotal sort of evidence, not evidence, but people saying, hey, this calms me down, and tea has certain therapeutic effects.
Sure. And there's a lot of studies that show tea with positive health impact. So, I mean, there's study after study after study that shows it. So I guess, you know, if you're looking to lead a healthier lifestyle, tea is definitely, you can't hurt drinking it.
Well, I suppose if you drank 12 gallons of it.
That actually, that has happened. I did an article about someone that actually overdosed, but the person had so much tea. I think they had, used 100 tea bags a day to make an iced tea.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
That's pretty high test.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, so too much of a good thing is never
correct.
A good thing.
Yes, keep okay. in moderation.
What are you brewing over there?
I'm doing one of my little reserve teas for you. It's Orchid Oolong.
All right, I'll tell you what, it's ready?
Yes.
All right, so why don't we, let's try it here. It's very light looking.
It is.
Orange almost. Let's see. Wow. So different from the last one.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm tasting here. Mm.
That's what it looks like.
It looks orange, and maybe that's psychologically playing on my taste, but I almost taste orange. Am I wrong?
Not necessarily. It's there is a little level of fruit floral.
Not
to
necessarily,
this.
He says. All right, let's take a break, and we'll fight it out with our guest. 1-800-348-2551. Kevin Borowski is our guest. We talk tea. The lines are loaded, and we'll get back to the phones in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Current Compliance Services, Greenwich, New York, and now in St. Paul, Minnesota. National Compliance and Regulatory Consultants for the Life Insurance Industry, CurrentCompliance.com. Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. Southern Vermont Art and Craft Festival in Bennington, Vermont. July 31st through August 2nd, juried art and crafts with music, food, kids activities, craftproducers.com. Mohonk Preserve, New Paltz, presenting Robert Loeb's Field Studies, an outdoor exhibition of 6 large-scale sculptures at the Preserve's Visitor Center on Route 4455 in Gardner. Through October 18th, mohonkpreserve.org. And Fort Salem Theater in Washington County, presenting the singing anchors Jerry Gretzinger, Jessica Layton, and Benita Zahn in From San Jose to Broadway and Bacharach, tomorrow, Sunday, and August 1st and 2nd, FortSalemTheater.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday, and boy, it's proven Kevin Borowski to be quite a popular one. Tea is more popular than I thought it would be.
There's more of us out there than you think.
So this reserve tea that we're drinking, I can't quite describe the taste, but it's so much lighter in color than the tea, that the breakfast type
yes.
tea that you served first. And it's got a very strident taste to it. It's
yes.
lovely.
What you're drinking is an oolong. So an oolong is a semi-oxidized tea. And that means that it's kind of between green tea, which is not oxidized, and fully oxidized black tea. So in between that zone is oolong. And it takes a lot of skill to make a tea like that.
Yeah.
And they're not cheap. But they offer a very interesting flavor profile that
yeah.
you can't really...
And I would think you would not want to sweeten this.
Correct.
And or put anything in it.
Exactly.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Emmy, I think, in Slingerlands, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering what the ideal time for making iced tea, like black tea, for steeping it would be.
When we make iced tea at the shop, and again, this is for loose tea, the rules are a little different for bag tea because typically bag tea is going to be much finer particles. But when we make iced tea in the shop, we use the same temperature water and the same time that we brew hot tea, except that we use less water and make a concentrate, and then we pour that over ice. So with black tea, it's usually 4 to 6 minutes. And then you work your way down. Green tea is like 2 to 4 minutes. So it depends what tea you're making.
Okay, thank you. My uncle told me 18 minutes, and I was just wondering.
That would be very hard, unless it's a fruit tea. In other words, if it's a tisane where it's just fruit and an herbal,
okay.
Those can go indefinitely.
So a non-tea tea.
Correct, yes. But if it's tea, 18 minutes, that might be a little problematic.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for the call. And don't use 100 tea bags either, because you know what? That could be very, very dangerous. Deborah in Springfield, Mass. Deborah.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I received a gift recently of a tea in a like a cake. It was a compressed tea, and I was told that it has increasing value as it ages. In fact, jokingly, they said I should hold it till I retire, and that would I could get enough money to buy my ticket back to China.
Wow.
So I'm just wondering if you can tell me what happens to that tea, what increases the value, and should it just be more delicious? Should I drink it?
Pu'er is what you have, and Pu'er is the tea that is the only tea that can age and get better with age. So there was a bubble actually not too long ago in China with Pu'er rising to thousands of dollars
really?
For a cake. What happened, though, is because Chinese regulations aren't as good, then you would have people that want, you know, would put a little sawdust in the cakes and sort of pass it off, and then the bubble collapsed. Really, knowing where it's from is going to be the key, and also keeping in the right conditions. You can't just keep it, like, you know, out in your kitchen, and it's not going to age properly. Pu'ers were originally done in, like, cool, damp environments, so to age.
So, like a refrigerator?
I wouldn't do a refrigerator because you're gonna get other odors from other foods. So like almost like a you know cellar. Some people
humidor.
Some people literally make their own humidors, but
wow.
Except it's cooler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
It's beautifully packaged.
Yeah,
so
a lot of them are. They're all like they're wrapped up in this like nice velvety material. Yeah.
But how could she tell if, in fact, that this has been adulterated?
It probably isn't, but I don't know how you would sell it because it's not really, you can't just go down to a corner store and say, here, give me, you know, appraise this Pu'er pie for me.
Wow, very interesting. Very interesting. Well, thanks a lot for the call, Deborah. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Why not? So why is there only one tea that can age in this way? Why? I mean,
that
what's
tea
different
was,
about
that
it?
Tea's actually is fermented, and so what happens is, before the tea's dried, it's compressed into cakes, and they put them, store them in special chambers where actually there's natural microbiotic activity that takes place. Just
right.
Like you put sauerkraut and let that ferment, it changes the chemical nature of the tea itself.
Right.
And whatever happens to that at that point, it can age, you know, it doesn't go bad over time. It just allows it to a longer shelf life.
Well, that's very interesting. But why can't you, in other words, if it's worth money, let's say, why can't an enterprising person who grows tea leaves do the same thing?
Well, that's what they were trying to do during that bubble.
Why can't you do it here?
The Pu'er tea is only grown in is only made in Yunnan, China. There's no other place on Earth that they make that tea because it's growing the teas. That's where they grow the tea.
But
so,
why can't you do this with any tea? Is what I mean, fermenting the tea, putting it into a cake and fermenting it in a cool, damp place.
You could do it, but there are other places that have done. Yeah, I've even seen a white tea that's been fermented, but as far as increasing in value, I've not seen that. It you know, it's just almost like a wine. You have to have a certain name, and if you just do it, you're not going to have like that name power that says, "Okay, I want to spend extra for your tea." So,
what does it taste like?
Well, if you take Pu'er, it tastes almost like some people might say earthy. Some people might say you can also almost taste a little dirt moss in it.
Mm, delicious.
It's definitely an acquired taste, but it's gotten very popular because of health benefits with digestive system and cholesterol. So you've seen a lot of popularity. They do flavor too. There's one that actually has coffee in it that I sell. And there's other ones with caramel in it. And so there's...
So you have fermented teas at the shop?
Yes, we have about eight.
Really?
Eight of them. Yes.
Well, next time you come, we'll try that.
Yes.
Do you get drunk? Is it like...
There is a state of tea drunkenness.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to explore that. Jamie in Ellenville. Jamie, you're on.
Hey, I'll try to say it, but the Pu'er is like the Chinese coffee in the morning. And what they do also is they throw chrysanthemum flowers in it, dried ones, and other ones that just sweetens it up. It's got a very peaty taste almost.
Exactly.
But most of you never see the cake stuff. You only get it in the cans and tea bags, you know, and I don't know if that's, is that real Pu'er? You know, it does say Pu'er, so
it is.
Has to come from there.
It is.
The red can I'm talking about.
They break it up just for ease of use because it's kind of annoying to have to. Those cakes are really solid.
Yeah.
You almost need like a chip to chip it off and break it off. So sometimes you get really small pies, like really tiny ones that you can throw them. They call them bird's
I'd
nest
love
sometimes.
To find a place that carries pies. I don't even see them in Chinatown. Maybe I'm just not looking for them. But that's the other thing is like, you know, on the high end teas, the oolongs, like there's a place on Barkley, just below Canal, that sells oolongs that go over 200 dollars an ounce.
Yes.
Wow.
And it has to do, Ray, with like the size of the leaf, they say, like the perfection of the leaf that's dried. Like when you seep this tea, it's like the perfect leaf that
right.
they pick out. But also, you don't have to spend a lot of money on tea if you go to the right places. Like, people should make like a trip to Jackson Heights, Queens, where the E meets the 7. And you could travel the world there, right, from China, like supermarkets, to Indian ones,
yeah.
to even Honduras and places. Like, this tea's from Honduras and from South America, these dried leaves. Some of them taste terrible, but they're so good for you.
And you hop on the 7, you go to a Mets game.
Yeah.
And spend nothing. I'm talking about, like, you know, if you get your black tea from Indian places, like even if you're in a city in the 30s, there's all the Indian supermarkets. You'll spend $2, $3 on a bag, on 100 tea bags that are packed, like double the size of American tea bags. And all different types of sell-ons and beautiful long leaf ones and nice cans for a couple of bucks.
Yeah. Jamie, thanks a lot for the call. Of course, Jamie makes a great point. If you could spend $200 for an ounce of tea, I would imagine that there are some unscrupulous sellers in parts of the country or the world where it's not worth that.
Some people will just package it up and make it look interesting. And
most people won't be able to tell the
difference.
Double
or triple
right?
the price. So I've actually purchased tea that's $200+ a pound. Is it that much better? Yeah, it's better, but would I spend that much money? I probably wouldn't.
It's funny. It's like wine.
Yes, exactly.
You always hear the wine experts say, you do not need to spend $100 on a bottle of wine. You
right.
can find a nice $7 bottle of wine.
The percentage of how better it is gets less and less the higher the price. So, you know, it might be a percent or two better than one that costs half as much.
Right. If you have $8,000 in your wallet,
exactly.
I suppose a couple hundred dollars would be okay. Gordon in Latham. Gordon, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. My wife is a big tea drinker, has dozens of varieties, and even the loose stuff with the tea ball. I do green tea, and I wondered if you had ever heard of a French green tea called Saint-Dalfour. It was started and supervised by monks in France, and it's available locally.
So that sounds, I have not heard of that, but that sometimes you'll have companies, if it's under their name, it might be something they sell exclusively through their own channels and not just on the worldwide market, because I have not heard of that.
Actually, they have an address in Philadelphia, and we bought some we've been buying it at a local health store in up toward Clifton Park. Yeah, and the Saint-Dalfour, D-A-L-F-O-U-R, and it's organic. It's grown under strict supervision, no chemicals in the bag, no staple. Packed individually in foil packs, and it's really quite good. It's strong, though, and so if you leave it brew too long, you know, it can get a little, like green tea will get a little bitter.
It will get bitter. Now, where is it from? Where is it grown, though? Does they give you an origin of where it's actually
in
grown?
Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Under the supervision of these French brothers, the Saint-Dalfour Frères.
Interesting. Well, I saw Kevin taking notes, so I think you got his interest.
Okay. Do you want the Philadelphia address?
I'll look it up.
Yeah, we'll look it up. Thanks, Gordon.
Okay, and there's a website, too, stdalfour.com.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks for the call. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. In the waning minutes of the program, still time for your call, 1-800-348-2551. All right, Kevin, this one came in via email. This is from Pat, who says, hello, love the show. Just a note to everyone writing in, a compliment always gets you in. So, hello, love the show. I drink black tea exclusively, usually from England or Ireland. Black, no sweetener, no milk, no lemon. I also love Assam tea. What other strong black tea should I check out? That's from Pat in Leeds, Mass.
Okay, there's one that I really, really love.
Yeah.
It's under our name. We sell it as Ancient Forest, but a good Yunnan.
Is this tea- the one?
No, it's not.
Okay.
That's a different one. But Yunnan, a good Yunnan black tea. And also there's some really good Kenyan black teas that have that really strong flavor that she's looking for. So a Yunnan, Or Kenyan would be one I would look.
So the strength is just based on the variety of the tea leaf?
Yeah, so there are actually two types of teas. There's the Assamica variety and the Camellia variety. And the Camellia one is the one from China. The Assamica is the one from India. It's a larger leaf, and they tend to be stronger than the Chinese counterparts in most cases.
The tea, I guess you didn't brew this.
I did.
But this mist on the... Oh, really? You brewed this
yeah.
one? Mist on the Gorges?
This is a cloud and mist tea. So this is a tea that is naturally shaded by mist in the mountains. And it's in a very pristine area of China where there's a lot of gorges and rivers. And it's almost like a wildlife preserve. So the tea itself develops a little more green flavor to it.
It's light.
Yeah. Now the water cooled down a bit, so it may not have been as strong as...
I see. Yeah. It's very, very nice. Yeah. Very nice. So, you know... Doing this show and talking about tea, something I don't know too much about, it strikes me that there are so many parallels to cigars.
Yes.
So you have shade grown, you have sun grown, and the fermentation process and how you treat it and how you pick it. There seems to be a parallel here.
Yes, altitude as well. So wine, cigars, there's a lot of parallels to how it's grown, how much sun it gets, how little sun it gets.
I like this one. I like this. This is mist.
Cloud and mist.
Cloud and mist.
And a lot of these teas are good for pairing with foods, too. So a tea like this, I would pair with seafood. Like if you have sushi, it's a great pairing for sushi because that grassiness will pair well with the little saltiness that you have from sushi.
What's a good tea for, like, pepperoni pizza?
Pepperoni pizza, probably do something more or less like...
Oh, you really have one? I thought I was being flipped.
No, we actually have a guide in our catalog. That guide in our catalog with different foods and tea pairings, even cheese pairings.
Really?
So I'd probably
pepperoni pizza. You can't have a tea, right, with pepperoni pizza?
Probably,
have you ever done that?
No. No, I have to admit, I don't.
Beer, right?
Beer, yeah.
Okay.
Beer.
But still, next time, we'll get some pepperoni pizza and we'll
try. We could try it out. Yeah.
That would be a show. No one would listen to it, but we'd have a good time. 1-800-348-2551. Tim in Saratoga, you're on.
Yeah, I was wondering if you knew anything about mushroom tea, the mandarin mushroom. It's a mushroom we used to have out in Colorado. It was going around. You'd put it in a gallon, and you would boil up black tea and brown sugar, and you would put it in a gallon jug and let it sit for a couple weeks. And then you would repeat that, and you would drink that tea.
Yikes.
I've had some people I've spoken with regarding mushroom tea, and there's actually we were at a tea expo, the Albany Tea Expo, that was here a couple months ago, where they're trying to cultivate mushrooms. They do have health benefits. However, it's something that's grown in such small quantities. You have to go like directly to a grower. It's not something that I can find. But they I've had spoken to multiple people that talked about the mushroom tea.
Tim, did you like it?
It tastes like vinegar, but it was like a cure-all. It would go through your body and get all the bad stuff out. You would actually break out into pimples for about a week or two.
Oh, that's nice.
Detox. It's probably detoxifying.
So how do you know it got rid of all the bad things if you broke out in pimples?
Well, it just kept you healthy for years, and I had the mushroom, but the mushroom died when I was traveling from Colorado to New York. So I'm kind of looking to see if anybody has those mushrooms around.
Huh. Wow. Well, Tim, that was a good one. Thank you. 1-800-348-2551. Almost out of time here. I don't know how you top that one, Kevin.
I don't know either.
That was so that's not something that's going to be on your...
I mean, I stick mostly with tea. Like I said, you can take anything and put it in water and make something out of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes people ask for the most outrageous ingredients. I'm like, well, I can't really get that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, your shop is doing well, and Whistling Kettle is now open in Troy. How's that working out for you?
It's going really well.
Yeah? Good. Well, it's fun having you here, and I learned a lot. And I got to say, you brought your two daughters here. Better behaved children I have never seen. Amazing. You two did great. You didn't say a word. You could have said a word, but you didn't. Very proud of you both. Thanks to Kevin Borowski for being here. Thanks to all of you for listening and for calling. Support comes from Adirondack Creamery Ice Cream, crafted with local milk, cream, sugar, and eggs, and no artificial additives. Flavors such as white-faced mint chip and black raspberry are available at Adams Fair Acre Farms, Whole Foods, ShopRite, and coming soon to Hannaford, AdirondackCreamery.com. the Lathrop community, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoon, spirithaus.com. And Monticello, licensed real estate broker, 80 Davis Avenue, Albany, utilizing professional photographs, custom websites, and internet marketing to help sell Capital Region homes. MonticelloNYS.com.